This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? Thanks for joining us. Coming up this hour, Blake Griffin appears to be going into no man's land. Would you date a Kardashian?
She's a bad girl, David.
We shall discuss coming up in about 17 minutes from now. And why not? After leading with that, start with sex tapes. So, Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports is reporting that the NFL is going to get the Ezekiel Elliott appeal highlighted by questioning the female's credibility. That they are going to subheader the appeal of this by saying Ms. Thompson's highly inappropriate conduct, including extortion, punctuates her lack of credibility. So Ezekiel Elliott's team of support, legal support, litigators, whatever it's going to be, saying you can't trust her because she tried to extort him. Now, we already have the reports out there that his ex-girlfriend threatened over text message to ruin his career, ruin his life, and seemed very vindictive following the alleged incidents. Well, there is a text message thread also between her and one of her friends that talks about selling a sex tape between Ezekiel and her, saying they would look for $10,000 to $20,000 and that we could quote-unquote blackmail him with that. That's what her friend said in the text message. She suggested, what if I sold me and Ezekiel sex videos? So, it's good to know that Ezekiel Elliott apparently
get on top of the guy and they'll do a lap dance.
Again. I mean, look. Do you need to be videotaping it? You're an NFL player. You're an athlete. It's going to come around again. You don't need to save it for posterity. I don't think you want that on videotape anyway. I think it's a bad look. So try to avoid the recording devices. If I'm a professional athlete or if I'm a high-profile college athlete, again, it's going to come around again. You don't need to save it like saving a Christmas home video from 1995. All right, kids, gather around. We're going to watch this. Come on. Let's bring the family around the fireplace. You're going to watch some of my own home movies. Oh, no, not that movie. Hold on. Delete that. So does this ruin the credibility of the NFL suspension? No, it doesn't. Let's just call it as it is. She might have been really vindictive. She may have looked to blackmail him out of spite or anger. She may have wanted to make him look terrible. She may have tried to extort him. But it doesn't erase the fact that he may have beat her up. You know, did the NFL overreach in this? Look, this is their new world that they did, that they created. None of us know whether Ezekiel Elliott is guilty or innocent. And if you think you know and you say you know, you're wrong. You don't know. You don't have the evidence. You don't have any of the stuff that the NFL went over. But this is the deal. This is the NFL created. It all stems from Ray Rice. And had the NFL done the right thing with Ray Rice, then they wouldn't be in this predicament where they had to overreach. In the Ray Rice situation, Ray Rice went to Atlantic City, went to a casino, and knocked his wife, his fiance, unconscious in an elevator. And we all knew it because the police report cited it exactly. Now, Ray Rice has done his fair share to try to rehabilitate his image. He has spoken out against domestic violence. He has spoken about how wrong he was, a lot different than Greg Hardy. I mean, at least Ray Rice has been remorseful and tried to change his actions and his life and his narrative. Greg Hardy is just a dopey monster. Greg Hardy is just a complete brute. Greg Hardy is a mess. Ray Rice has tried to rehabilitate and make amends for his mistake. I give him credit for that. But when the NFL had the information on Ray Rice, there was a police report. And let's face it, the NFL had the video as well because the NFL has access to all of those things. The NFL went way too light. The NFL, in fact, wanted to scrub it so clean that they put Ray and Jhené Rice on a podium in front of assembled media to answer questions. Remember, before the season, at the Ravens facility, which will go down in history as one of the ugliest events of professional sports history. Imagine taking a battered woman and propping her on stage and go, okay, now you answer questions from an assembled media. Like, that's not her role. She's not ready for that. She's not there to make sure your team looks better or Ray looks better. You're dealing with severe domestic violence. She got punched in the jaw and knocked unconscious. You think the woman is slightly rattled? You think the woman is slightly humiliated? Oh, but yeah, okay, just go up on stage and say that it was kind of like partially your fault as well and you guys love each other. I mean, it was disgusting. Disgusting, which is why I laugh when Steve Bisciotti has going over wringing his hands morally about signing Colin Kaepernick. Oh, well, that it wasn't that big a deal to put Jhené Rice up on stage, but not okay to sign Colin Kaepernick. Okay. But when the NFL then had all of that before the video surfaced and suspended Ray 2 games, it was 2-game suspension before the video surfaced. The NFL, A, tried to scrub Ray Rice clean, B, defended him up and down, let the Ravens put the victim on a stage in front of the media to answer questions. And then gave him 2 games before the video came out. They set this ball in motion. Because once the video exploded and the world melted down, it had looked like exactly what it was. We saw it for what it was. And that was that the NFL didn't really care about domestic violence. They didn't take that too seriously. Why? Let's call it as we see it. Football players have been hitting their girlfriends for a long time. Not all of them, but some of them. And this was not that big a deal. Either because it was a male-dominated culture with male owners that really don't care that much about domestic violence, or they're completely protective of their investments, or they're just highly competitive and don't honestly really care about crimes that happen with their players. They just want to win. Whatever the case was, or the history of, hey, violent guys, we hire a lot of them, we employ a lot of them, they get into really violent situations, and we have plenty of stories from the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s of guys hitting their girlfriends and hitting their wives. You know what? That's none of our business. All of those things melted into them not really caring about this. And we all suddenly go, well, you know, you should probably care about it. You know, it's kind of stupid that you don't care about it. This is kind of a disgusting thing, and you probably should. And so the NFL goes, oh, yeah, okay, well, now we care about it. Well, yeah, no, you're totally right. We should definitely care about it. Yeah, we made tons of mistakes there. Now we care. How much do they care? They still don't really care. Because the Josh Brown situation last year proved they don't really care. They care enough to make you think that they care. They care about your opinion, but do they care about the crime itself? Meh. But hey, caring about our opinion is better than not. So, okay, it gets you closer to the moral line. It gets you closer to the ethical line, which is, you know, doing what's right, which is kind of protecting our women in this country from getting beat up by guys that are professional athletes or really any men. I think that's kind of a common thing that we can all relate to and all agree on. We should probably protect our women from getting the crap beaten out of them by bigger males. Hey, man, Jerry Jones, you don't like it? You created this. Because you and the NFL and Roger Goodell and all those other owners have gone so light on domestic violence since, now they've got to overreact. Because you know what? Let's say they give Ezekiel Elliott 2 games. But Ezekiel Elliott has had this pattern of criminality or just stupid behavior. Going back into the club 3 times to go track down this DJ and punch him in the nose and break his face. Pulling down the girl's dress at Mardi Gras. You know, if these are a pattern of bad decisions and not caring about the things that are going on, and there's also this real concern in Dallas that the guy just parties way too much. He's just going to drink himself out of the league. And you have decent evidence that he beat up his girlfriend, whether she's a bad chick, whether she was a vindictive chick, whether she is a crazy chick, whether she is a depressed one, whether she was trying to extort him, whatever it was. If you have evidence that he actually put his hands on her, and they feel like they have evidence that he did it 3 times in a week, you can't go light anymore. You can't. You've got to err on the side of caution here. You've got to go overboard because let's say tomorrow more evidence comes out. Or let's say tomorrow Ezekiel Elliott gets arrested for beating up his next girlfriend. Well, that's you looking really bad yet again. So, you know, I don't defend the NFL a lot, so you know it takes a lot for me to do this, but I defend them in this instance. I don't defend them in the reality that they created this ridiculousness where they have to go overboard because they ultimately didn't care. But now if they want to act like they do care, they've got to go overboard and be safe rather than sorry. So I'd rather them be safe than do the Ray Rice thing, which was totally morally bankrupt. Unless, and this is their option too, they go, you know what? We're not suspending anybody for anything that happens off the football field. It's not our business. They want to go down that road? Fine, go down that road. But the NFL gave Roger Goodell orders to clean up the behavior in the league after all of those Cincinnati Bengals arrests, the Pac-Man Jones stuff, and all the other arrests that happened more than 10 years ago. Well, now you got what you wanted. You've got a law, a guy that it feels like he's above the law and he's going to suspend everybody and go after him. And you're a league that wants to act like you're female friendly. You sell a lot of female jerseys. You market towards females a lot. You know what? You want to do that? Well, then, yeah, you got to overreach on this. The problem is that the NFL's still not really being honest. They don't really, really care. But as long as they care that we care, it's a start. When we come back, Blake Griffin is doing something that has been the jinx of many an athlete. Blake, watch your back. Get there coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Ernie Johnson, host of TNT's award-winning Inside the NBA.
Beam me up, DA.
You got it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. The best of every show is available on YouTube. You can watch the best clips of the show every single day by going to CBS Sports Radio's YouTube page. Easy for me to say.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
855-212-4CBS, the phone number on Twitter, DA on CBS. The list of the athlete Kardashian curse is long. It is a road littered with carcasses on that highway. None of which might be in worse peril than Lamar Odom, who is on life support and luckily stayed with us. But what's this list look like, Mraz? Every so often we update this list. Obviously, Lamar Odom is on this list.
Chris Humphreys, currently Tristan Thompson.
Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush is in there. There's another NFL player I'm definitely forgetting.
There's a lot of NBA players on Chloe's resume. You know, it was Lamar Odom, but now it's Tristan Thompson. But there's a bunch over on that wing of the hallway, that wing of the house. And we know the Rob Kardashian on the guy's side.
Oh, Rashad McCants. Remember he said that they ruined his career?
That's right, Rashad McCants. Rob Kardashian, Blac Chyna, total nightmare. Tyga with Kylie Jenner, total nightmare. I mean, it just is.
James Harden.
That's right. James Harden said his basketball got much better after he left the Kardashian nonsense, that he became an MVP after that. So ruined Rashad McCants' career. Once Harden left, he became an MVP. The moment Blac Chyna gets out of that thing with Rob Kardashian, well, I guess they are out of it, but it's still kind of a mess, right?
Yes. Also, Matt Kemp was on this list, and he kind of went downhill with the Dodgers and then got traded.
Yeah, yeah. Tyga, the whole thing is just...
Rick Fox was in there somehow? I got a whole weird list going here.
Hey, and you know what? Let's be perfectly honest. Kanye stopped making good music as soon as he married into the family.
Oh, and he's just a weirdo now.
Kanye's first four albums are revolutionary hip-hop. Revolutionary music. Since, it's nothing there.
He's Hall of Famer to bust.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of an athlete comparison to where it just went up in smoke. But you're talking about a revolutionary athlete, and then it just fell off the table. It was over. So, I mean, maybe like a Victor Cruz, but Victor Cruz wasn't revolutionary. That was like Terrell Davis after the ACL.
Good point. Pete's going with Yasiel Puig.
Okay, Yasiel Puig, but you couldn't call Yasiel Puig a Hall of Famer. You could call Terrell Davis a Hall of Famer even after the injury.
Good point.
So now Blake Griffin is going to spin this wheel of death. And he is going to start dating. This is the youngest one or the second youngest one? This is Kendall Jenner.
Kendall is the second youngest one.
I had thought that Kendall and Kylie, the two youngest, were twins. You corrected me before the show. You didn't know what a palindrome was. You don't really know what a solar eclipse is. You don't really know anything about our astronomy. But you do know that Kylie is younger than Kendall, and they were kind of Irish twins.
Nailed it. That was my best part of the pre-production meeting.
Now, it's unclear how serious this is, but Blake and Kendall have now hung out a couple of times, and it looks like it's getting kind of close. If you are Blake Griffin, look, Kendall is beautiful, and she's obviously very wealthy. She has this line of cosmetics, and she's a fashion model, and she has all types of income. I mean, she's obviously loaded, and she's only 21 years old and very, very beautiful. Is Blake Griffin making a mistake? Let's ask this question. Is Blake Griffin making a mistake? Is anybody making a mistake, whether it's Blac Chyna, Tyga, Blake Griffin, Rashad McCants, if you are starting to date into this family? Kanye West?
I really want to say no because I like Kendall a lot, but yes, that family's a cancer.
Now, Kendall seems like the most normal. Would we agree?
Yes. Yeah, she seems to have distanced herself, even when she's in the show. She's not as weird as the other ones, and she's not with the Three Amigos as much. But still, it all comes down to that mom, you know? Chris has it out for everyone.
Did Chris kill Rob Kardashian? Oh, no, Daddy Kardashian. What happened?
That was after the OJ case.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of stress, apparently.
He had like a heart attack, right?
No, I think it was lung cancer.
Oh, it was lung cancer? Okay, so she didn't kill him then.
No, but they said it was brought on from stress of the OJ case, the rumor.
And probably being married to Chris.
Yeah, I'd imagine. This is the same woman who had no problem with her daughter making a sex tape and wants all this stuff put out there and just wants all her kids getting plastic surgery. I mean, she's not exactly mother of the year, if you're asking me.
Okay, so is Blake Griffin making a mistake here? Should we just count on Blake Griffin's career going in the tank?
Yes.
I think you got it, right?
I think you have
That's the odds.
Yeah, and he's also doing this at the wrong time. He's doing this when the Clippers themselves are hitting the skids and breaking right. the team up. So now when he's really going to be counted on, there's no Chris Paul. He's going to have this going on, and he's not really going to care because he knows he's not going to win a championship with the Clippers. So it's all going to come into one, and everybody's just going to blame Kendall, where she doesn't really – she has a fresh slate at 21, not to get blamed like her sisters, and she's going to start this and get blamed. Inevitably, this is going to end in breakup or divorce, and then they're going to have to move on with their lives anyway, and now she's got a black cloud over her.
Yeah. Okay, so we are in full agreement here. This is a bad decision by Blake Griffin.
Go dunk over a key again, Blake. Run as fast as you can.
Yeah, I mean, there's just... The thing is, the odds are not good. If you were to weigh the sabermetrics on this, I mean, whatever their VORP is not good. It's going to... You are just going to collapse.
He's got to look at everybody else that's played before him. The war is not good.
War is not good. The wins above replacement on dating a Kardashian is very, very bad. There's just no doubt about that.
What you think about that, D.A.?
I think it's just a terrible, terrible decision. I really do. I think it's a terrible, terrible decision. Maestro Mike tweets, D.A., so which situation was handled worse by the NFL, Ray Rice or Josh Brown? The NFL knew about both in both instances. I still think it's Ray Rice because, I mean, they really blew that one. I mean, they had a police report. With the Josh Brown thing, yeah, they had police called to the scene, but they found out mostly about what had happened because Josh Brown had written it down in a diary. With the police report of Ray Rice, I mean, they knew exactly what happened, that he clocked her in the jaw and knocked her unconscious. And like I said, when you put the victim up on stage to answer questions, there is nothing more heartless and ridiculous than that. So I can't believe we have to debate these types of things, but I mean, the NFL has just been butchered and should be rightfully so in all of these types of situations, all of them, because they've just been so bad. Speaking of LA sports, just a little note here. The Dodgers are now 50 games over 500. That doesn't even seem real or possible. 50. They're 5-0 games over 500. This is a team right now that is 87-84-34. They have 34 losses. And it's the middle of August. 34 losses in the middle of August. They are 50 games over 500, the first time that has ever happened since the Dodgers moved to L.A. The last time this happened in that franchise's history was 1953. I mean, this just never happens. In fact, this is the first time it's happened in Major League Baseball history, basically, since then. They're on pace to win 115 games. 115 games. I mean, you're talking about like the four or five greatest teams ever to play baseball were as good as what they're putting together right now. They beat the White Sox last night 6-1. They scored five runs with two out in the eighth inning to blow it open because it was a 1-1 tie. They're just a total machine right now. Completely.
You are a machine of death.
And there is so much pressure on them in the playoffs. Because if they win 112, 113, 115 games, and they don't make the World Series, it'll be one of the great chokes of all time. And the thing is, baseball playoffs are totally random. Baseball playoffs, you lose a fluky game here because of a reliever. You go up against a really good starting pitcher, you get shut down. I mean, it's a game of millimeters. There is going to be so much pressure on this Dodgers team to minimum make the World Series and really to win it because they are so historically dominant. 50 games over 500. 50! 5-0! I mean, you think about your team just wanting to be at 500 for a while, then maybe like nosing their heads across that and trying to keep their head above water. They're 50 games over, 84-34. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories of the day that did not make the cut, including ESPN being forced to apologize yesterday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
I've been wanting to talk to you, and thank you for trashing Mraz. Nauseated me, and I've wanted to trash him then, too.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You're always free to trash Mraz.
Puffiness with sodium.
Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder to like the Facebook page. Go to Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Like the show page. We'll get your timeline popping.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
Facebook.com/TheDA Show. You can always hit us up on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Sign up to be an O'Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Paul tweeting in, DA, which Kardashian or Jenner will ruin the most NBA players' careers over the next decade? Hashtag ask the pros. Well, that's a great question, Paul. Something that we were just discussing.
She's a bad girl, David.
It's Khloe by a landslide. You know, there's only a few athletes, all of the other ones, one or two. Khloe has a parade, and Lamar Odom nearly died. I mean, he was on life support in a coma that probably should have never come out of. So it's Khloe by a landslide. I mean, honestly, Khloe's resume is like the 84 Niners, 15-1, couldn't be stopped. It's like the 85 Bears, like just unstoppable devastation. The defense, all world, you just couldn't get a pass off. They're going to sack you six times, knock your quarterback out, and nearly kill you. Basically, Khloe is the 85 Bears. You can't slow her down. It's a wrath of fury.
What if she gets married to Tristan Thompson, though?
What happened to this finals? The Cavs went from beating the Warriors to getting blown out in five.
And now the core is breaking up like crazy.
Exactly. Kyrie is demanding to get traded. LeBron's going to leave next season as well. She poisoned the Cavs.
It all starts with the mother.
You're going to blame Kris Jenner for the Cavs breaking up.
Yes. Everything that's happened bad that has anything to do and attached to the Kardashians starts with Kris.
You're blaming Rob Kardashian's problems on Kris, too.
Yeah. There's no reason Rob should have joined me in the fat club. None.
Boy, is he chubby.
Chubbo. Chubby. I saw an episode the other day where they went to celebrate his birthday. The guy was burying popcorn like I've never seen. Three chins was sweating. Ooh.
Even if you're fat.
It's a tough go at it.
Grandkids hanging on to him like he's a bag of mashed potatoes.
It's a tough go. It's a tough go. All right, let's get to your cut line today.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's The Cut Line.
ESPN had a 24-hour marathon of fantasy football, and it serves them right they got into trouble for it. Because it's one of the dopiest things that they program hours upon hours, a full day. Like, the full day of college basketball that they have to tip off the season is awesome. One of their great ideas. The full day of fantasy football is one of the worst ideas. And they held an auction. Now, most of us don't have auctions in our drafts, but it is part of what some leagues do in fantasy football. And the optics of a white auctioneer and a white audience bidding on these players and black players offended some people, including some players in the NFL. ESPN was forced to apologize yesterday, saying that the optics of it were insensitive and that they didn't realize what they were doing and that they apologized for it. It could be portrayed as offensive, and we apologize. So when this first became a story yesterday, it was happening during our show, so I didn't get to see the scenes in question. But my first inclination was, That doesn't seem offensive. I mean, white players are getting auctioned off as well, and this is kind of what fantasy football can be for certain leagues. But the more that I thought about it, the more that I realized, you know, yeah, there's a lot of things today in social media and the media in general that people just want to be outraged over. And so there are things that happen that get just pounded into you because it's the way that a certain vocal portion of the audience is going to shame you into doing. But in this case, I kind of understand it, and I understand it because I thought about it a little bit more. It is a weird thing. Let's say, even if it's a white guy or a black guy, it's a weird thing to be putting dollar values on guys in an auctioneer standpoint. It's just kind of a weird situation in general. But more so, you know what? We're like 72 hours removed from Nazis. I mean, so it's like people on high alert about racism because you had guys in Charlottesville without hoods on, not even covering up their identity, basically saying, we hate black people, we hate Jewish people. I mean, so when you're coming out of that and the entire nation over the last 72 hours has been debating whether or not white nationalism is neo-Nazism and racism and bigotry, and I mean, everybody's talking about it. You know what? It was a really bad timing as well. Really bad timing. I don't blame people for being sensitive about potential racism because we now have people openly saying, I'm racist and you should die. I'm racist and I hate you. I'm a racist and I want to kill you. Openly, no hoods. So I don't blame people for being sensitive about racism. I really don't. Because frankly, 70 years ago, our entire nation went to war to end Nazism. And 70 years later, we're like, oh, you know what? Let's give them a few hours here. That seems weird to me.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Rob Gronkowski, just being Rob Gronkowski, Gronk says he would wear number 69 if they paid him $69,000. Obviously, this is not that big a story because they're not going to allow him to wear 69 because that doesn't fit into the NFL uniform situation. If you're going to be a tight end, you're going to be a pass catcher, you can't wear a number in the 60s. But I also think that, like, this whole Gronk is the big, doofy frat boy is really tired. I mean, how old is Gronk now? Is Gronk nearing 30 yet? At what point do you kind of grow out of pounding beers, gyrating with every girl? He's 28 years old. I mean, at some point, it's kind of a lame act, is it not? I'm tired of it, frankly. I've been tired of it for a while. I've said for a while now, if Gronk wasn't so playful, his antics would be widely ridiculed across the nation. But he's like the big, doofy jock guy that you knew in high school that just like gave you noogies and atomic wedgies and everybody loved. But it's just, it's such a tired act. I mean, everything has to be a sexual innuendo. Everything has to be pounding beers. Everything has to be gyrating. Everything has to be what he hosted a sex cruise or a cruise where, like, he was encouraging people to have sex in front of other people. He's, I don't know. The whole thing is just so tired for me from a Gronk standpoint. It's a lot like Chad Ochocinco. It's just like all this stuff. There is a shelf life to acting like a moron.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, John Franklin III, who rose to fame as part of the Netflix documentary series Last Chance U at East Mississippi Community College, has transferred from Auburn to FAU, Florida Atlantic, where, of course, Lane Kiffin will be his head coach. And while Lane Kiffin might be an enormously annoying, self-indulgent, arrogant kind of guy that you root against, Lane Kiffin's already paid dividends. Did we ever talk FAU football before Lane Kiffin got there? Ever. Was it ever in the news? Was it ever a story? Never. I mean, FAU doesn't even have to go to a bowl game this year. They could win two games and he paid dividends because the guy's making really bad videos that go viral on social media. When he says something, people actually care about it. He's getting transfers that are in the news as well. He's got some, you know, kids that he's trying to take a chance on that he couldn't get elsewhere because they have to transfer in. And, you know, I don't know if Lane Kiffin's going to win there, but Lane Kiffin has paid dividends. He really has. In a day and age where so much of your currency is your fame, and we talked about this yesterday with the Kawhi Leonard story, he's made FAU football relevant. I mean, and I don't know if you're going to watch FAU football, but FAU football as a news story actually happens now, when before this, it absolutely did not happen.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, that is your cut line this morning. So the eclipse is happening in a couple of days on Monday. And with this eclipse, some big attention on it. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime eclipse. Apparently, this is one of the big ones. So I'm saying I'm excited about it. Mraz says he's not excited about it. And then hearing Mraz talk science and astrology has to be the epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Apparently, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's a once-in-a-lifetime eclipse. What are you shaking your head at?
Because every year, there's something scientific in the air, whether it's some kind of meteorite, an eclipse, or something. Everybody goes, this isn't going to happen for another 250 years. I go outside, nothing's ever that great, and I come back inside. Now we have another one of these eclipses. What is the difference between all of these eclipses?
Technology and stuff.
I've seen like 17 eclipses in my life. Why are they always once in a lifetime?
Nerd alert!
Isn't an eclipse? The moon blocks the sun blocks the moon. Hey, what are we doing here?
I know a chump because I know Mraz.
What time does this go down? Is this late at night, or we get this pretty early?
It depends on where you are in the country. Here, it's going to be, I think, 1 or 2 o'clock. It might be later in the afternoon. It's going to be late afternoon.
Afternoon. It's not at night.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Well, how could it be at night if it's the sun getting eclipsed?
It's all coming up next.
I thought the moon was blocking the sun. Wouldn't the moon block the sun when the moon's out?
Well, the moon would block the sun, but the sun wouldn't
Who's
be out.
Who's blocking who? Is the sun boxing the moon out, or is the moon boxing the sun out?
No, the moon... The moon is blocking the sun.
Right, that's an eclipse.
How could the sun block the moon? The sun is farther away.
I'm a creative genius.
Okay, right, because the sun's for every planet. The moon's just for us. So the moon always has to block the sun. That's right.
It doesn't, Dort.
Okay, so the moon's going to...
couldn't happen at night.
But so it's going to look like nighttime at 2 in the afternoon because it's a total one? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's not going to look like nighttime because the sun will still have its massive amount of rays everywhere.
Oh, but I thought it was total.
Yes, it will be total in some parts of the country, and so it'll look like a big black spot on top of the sun. How cool is that?
So cool. I'm pumped. So 2 o'clock in the afternoon, set, get ready to go?
I think it might be like 4 o'clock around here. I got to double check.
Oh, good. Right when I'm on the train. I'll miss it.
I hate you, bro.
Well, why don't you stick around outside and watch it?
Yeah, I'm missing my Long Island Railroad train to see 6 minutes of the moon blocking the sun. I'll catch it on YouTube.
I know you would.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Nothing like talking science with Mraz. Speaking of science, I'd like to know what bodily science is going to happen coming up here at the end of the day.
Puffiness with sodium.
Between 2:30 and 3 p.m. this afternoon Eastern Time, Mraz and I have a personal invite to the Cheetos pop-up store. Okay, we're going to go there and document this three-day bonanza where the entire restaurant is centered around Cheetos. It is by restaurateur Ann Burrell, or Burrell. We don't still know about the pronunciation there. But she's like a celebrity chef. Okay, Mraz, you've looked over the menu many times. You're not going to eat dinner tonight, so this is going to be your dinner. What is going to be your priority, your power rankings of what you want to eat?
I got to try the grilled cheese.
Okay, grilled cheese.
With it has the tomato and the bacon, but the cheese doodles or the cheese, if you will.
The Cheetos.
The Cheetos.
Remember, they don't like being called cheese doodles.
But aren't they the same thing?
I think cheese doodles are a different brand, like more of a knockoff generic brand.
Ooh, okay. But I thought the actual art was still a cheese doodle. A Cheeto is just a Cheeto.
I think so.
By golly, Miss Molly. We should probably get all our priorities in order here. I want those. The tacos look excellent.
Chicken tacos.
With the flaming Cheetos sprinkled almost like the salsa on top.
Yeah, that's right.
I am also very intrigued by the nachos because a Cheeto is like a chip anyway. So you put all the nacho toppings. I'm dipping it. My hands are going to get all sticky. And I'm very intrigued by this cheesecake. I mean, you're putting Sweetos as the crust, just like graham cracker. I'm sure Mrs. Burrell makes a fine cheesecake to begin with. You put it on this crust. I think this is excellent. So those are my four horsemen, my Mount Rushmore of Cheeto items I've seen on the menu I have to try.
We'll have to put this out on social media. So you can follow us, obviously, on Twitter today, DA on CBS or at Mraz CBS. Also, our Instagram pages, I'm sure we'll put some stuff out there. Same handles there, although mine is The DA Show on Instagram. We'll put it on Facebook as well, facebook.com/TheDAShow.
Ooh!
I will use this as also an episode for Nomad going forward for season two, which starts in the fall. And, Mraz, what type of people do you think we'll see at this Cheetos pop-up?
A lot of slobs, I would imagine.
Although I think this is a private... I think it's the slobs happen at night for dinner. I think for us, it's like during the day.
Okay, usually media people that attend these food events, like when the baseball stadiums release their new menus.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
They're not exactly of the thin variety, and they're usually there for free food.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
I'm not going to name any names, but those are the kind of people we will see.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
Fair. We will have full details and breakdown tomorrow on another award-winning DA show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel, Andrew Kaplan as your digital broadcast producer today, and dessert coordinator Brad Heller on your headlines. Be good. Be good to one another. That's important. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
Hey, I'm Peter Schwartz.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.